When I talk about the fruit, it's just one fruit with different segments. I don't know how many of you today split an orange into segments. That's the illustration of what we're speaking about in these sermons. A split orange with two segments tonight, equivalent to that orange of patience and kindness. So let's understand that right from the beginning, because it's very important. It's not fruits, it's fruit, and it's the person of Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit. And now just two beginning examples to give you an idea of what we're going to be speaking about. Let's look about patience first. Now, I don't know what your hobby is. I don't know what your interests are, although I do know some of your interests. But I know Greg is interested in golf. Well, sometimes I'm a little bit interested in motor racing. And I've also been, over the years, a little bit interested in Jenson Button, who is a young boy racer, so to speak, although not much such a boy now because he's getting older and older. Well, he has at last won a race at the Hungarian Grand Prix on the 6th of August. As the newspaper heading put it, 113th time lucky for the boy racer. From the world's viewpoint, Jenson Button has at last got there and won by patience. He has kept at it and has not given up. But that's not the patience that Paul is speaking about. And it's not the patience from the Christian point of view. To offset that worldly illustration, patience would be somebody who has prayed for a friend, a neighbor, a family member for years and years and years and never given up until that person has become a Christian. That's Christian patience. Now, every now and then I go up to London because I love going up to London and I feel really relaxed on the tube. And the only thing is that these days, when I go on the tube, people look at me and think, oh, he's old. He's going to fall over. And so every now and then somebody gets up and offers me a seat, which is very embarrassing because I think, well, I don't want to be unkind to the person making the offer. But the last person who did that, I said, and I don't think she saw the joke, I said, I think I'll survive to the next stop. But I thanked her. That's kindness. But it's not really the kindness that we're going to speak about this evening, the Christian kindness. To give you an up-to-date illustration without names, a Christian kindness is for two people in our parish looking at somebody who's lost her husband and takes that lady out for a meal to be kind. That is Christian kindness done in the power of the Spirit. To understand the Galatians passage, we have to look at the passage Julia read from John's Gospel. And I'm just going to read a bit more from it, the words that she's used, but the end of the passage. John 16, verse 12, page 107. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And this is Jesus speaking just before going to his death. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, would you like to just move to the Galatians passage on page 188? 1:8. So take into account these words of Jesus in John's Gospel. We can understand that the Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, is showing us that the fruit of the Spirit incorporates, as it were, as two segments, and I've just explained the meaning of that with the orange, as two segments of the whole, namely patience and kindness, but not as worldly virtues, rather as attributes of Jesus, therefore attributes of the Father. I repeat that. Not as worldly virtues, patience and kindness, rather as attributes of Jesus, and therefore attributes of the Father. So when a Christian is patient and kind, he or she is acting as Jesus would act in that particular situation. Thus, looking at Galatians 16:25, that's on page 188:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit, we can substitute the word Jesus for the Spirit. And so the verse would read then, if we live by Jesus, let us also be guided by Jesus. The secret behind these two virtues, patience and kindness, is hidden in Jesus Christ, from whom come both the ability to be patient and kind, and the strength to make those virtues permanently part of our way of life. People in the past have likened Jesus and the Holy Spirit to twins. And this illustration helps us to understand the fruit of the Spirit. As we look at the life of Jesus, we see, what do we see? Patience. What do we see? Kindness. In the lives of Christians, the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Holy Spirit when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit takes these virtues of Jesus and declares them to us. In other words, he gives us the power to be patient and kind like Jesus. So whenever one of us is patient, we are doing what Jesus would do in that situation. When any one of us is kind, we are doing what Jesus would do in that situation. Now let's go back to the Gospels. I'm not asking you to move, but we'll look at a lovely passage from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus and his disciples went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. The point about this story is not just the question of what can be done on the Sabbath and what cannot. There is much more to the story in the sense that the Pharisees were following Jesus and his disciples, saw what they were doing, and were critical of Jesus. And this happened on many occasions in the Gospels. Jesus would be saying something, would be healing somebody, would be doing something, and there would be those a clutch of Pharisees and scribes, but there would be those people who are in the corner mumbling and thinking, no, we disagree with that, and they would criticize Jesus. And how does Jesus react? In this case, he reacts by quoting the scriptures. Now, what about us? Because I want this sermon to be practical so that we understand how to be patient, and how to be kind. Have we as Christians, or some of us, been criticized within the church family for our action? The music we as musicians have played for a service. the way one of us leaders has led a house group, the way one of us has given a talk, a film one of us has seen, which another church family member thinks inappropriate for a Christian. There are so many examples within the church, without going outside, which we'll do in a moment. When criticized, provided we are doing what is in accordance with God's word, that's a moment to ask the Holy Spirit to help us be patient, to give us that patience Jesus had in situations when he was criticized. Now, it's some time since I've retired from my work in Tunbridge Wells, but you've all got different places of work. And at work, you can have all sorts of problems, can't you? People criticize, people do this, clients complain. I often, when I was in my law office in Tunbridge Wells, sometimes I'd be on the telephone all day, and I'd hear this person, funny enough, it's usually a man, at the end of the telephone, complaining that his contract had not been exchanged quick enough, and could I do it in 2 or 3 days? I note from Alistair now that it's down to about 2 or 3 hours. But you need patience. And I was always helped in my office because I used to take my small Bible in and stick it on the floor. And I had it there not just for that reason, but because people from the office would ring me up and so I could give them answers straight off the cuff. But I found that a help because actually seeing the Bible there reminded you that the Holy Spirit wants me in that particular situation to be patient. There are not many young people here tonight, but when young people go to university, they need patience. You go to university, you're a keen Christian, you become part of the Christian Union, and other people say, don't be so stupid as to believe those things. And you need to rely upon the Holy Spirit to make you like Jesus so that you show patience when that person criticizes you or ridicules you. And that patience works wonders because you know that people notice when you are patient and they think, this person has something that I haven't got. And the same thing applies in your other place of work. If you are patient, if you don't swear, if you don't get yourself into a tiz, people notice, and it's a witness. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to be like at work or in university. And there are, of course, those people, like the Pharisees and the scribes, who are continually finding fault. And for those of us who like to find fault in what others say or do, take to heart this evening the Holy Spirit speaking through James, chapter 5, verse 9. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. Let's look at another incident in the life of Jesus, the raising of the widow's son at Nain. And I don't know how many of us have been looking at the TV program, The Miracles of Jesus. Well, I've looked at all of them so far, and there's one more tonight. But they showed the miracle of Nain, and it was very helpful. Just to remind you, Jesus arrived in Nain with his disciples and a large crowd. As Jesus approached the city gate, a man who had died was being carried out. Luke 7, verse 12. The dead man was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. Verse 13. When Jesus saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Jesus raised the young man back to life because his heart was full of compassion, because he was kind. And kindness, Jesus' kindness, is what the Holy Spirit will give to us if only we listen to him. And you may say that situations don't occur like the widow's son at Nain, and that this doesn't happen, and that it's just for the gospel. Well, it's not. I tell you this. It is not a special Jesus incident. And we ignore the application to our own Christian lives at our peril. Have you noticed, because I've noticed, men and women and young people get sick all around us. Never a Sunday goes by without someone bringing to my attention another illness, another family member sick, another person awaiting an operation. How do we react? If we ask the Spirit of Jesus to come into our lives, as we do when we are converted, we will find, with his help, a compassion just like Jesus for that widow of Nain. Our kindness will know no boundaries when we are prompted to help those burdened with sickness or with bereavement. So ask Jesus for a kindness that he showed again and again. And Jesus will use our personal pastoral ministry beyond anything we would have thought possible. I know that Jonathan Brooks and Kate Bailey now lead the lay pastors. And I know also that they are looking for new lay pastors. Think about it tonight as you go home. Has the Spirit of Jesus prompted any of us in that direction? Because men and women are needed to look after people, to care for people, to be kind to people. It can be tough, but the Lord Jesus rewards us as we do as he directs us. We have looked at patience and we've looked at kindness individually. Let's now look at them together in relation to young people. Jesus, Luke 18, verses 13 to 17, was patient and kind with young people right down to infants. And this passage, famous for Jesus' words, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them," reminds us married people to be patient and kind with our young ones, particularly, and I speak from experience, with our teenagers, when you will need to be very patient and very kind. But if we do that, if we show patience and kindness to our teenagers, to our children, we are a witness to Jesus Christ for our own children. And as they grow up, and they leave their teams, and they meet somebody they love, and they get married, then their parental attitude may well be worked out on the way the parents treated them as young people. Not only that, faith in Jesus Christ can, without a shadow of doubt, be caught from us, our parents' attitude to our children. And similarly, the other way around. Our patience and kindness as young people can make the difference for our parents, can help our parents to faith when they are not yet Christians. Even as I speak, I can think of a daughter who used to be in our cell group years ago, who through her Christian attitude, that is her patience and kindness with her dad, brought her dad to faith in Christ. So both way round, patience and kindness within families. And of course within single people's relationships with other people, they need to be patient and kind, and the other way round. So whether we are young or old, parents or young people, single or married, never discount the miracle that happens when we, filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, show patience and kindness. They can be, without a shadow of doubt, Christian dynamite to alter this world in which we live and to bring more closer the kingdom of God. And what about God's patience and kindness with us? Have you ever thought of God's patience with us, that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die painfully on the cross, that we, that you and I, might be a forgiven people? God's patience and kindness stretch to the limit in our individual cases. This has exploded the idea that no men and women are able to meet with God. If it were not for Jesus, because of our sins, we would be unable to stand before him and be saved from the penalty of our sins. There would be no heaven, there would be no grace. Everything happens, the fruit of the Spirit happens because of Jesus' death on the cross. So as we return home this evening, think finally of what Jesus has done for me, for each one of you on the cross. And if you feel at the moment rather dry, ask him to fill you again with his Holy Spirit, so that in future each one of us will have a renewed patience and kindness which stands out from our fellows. Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I don't know about you and your reaction to those words. They've always thrilled me. They are amazing. As we accept his gift with thankfulness, remember then there is only one fruit of the Spirit, which contains every virtue we need as Christians, namely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our prayer must surely be, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have gained for us in this life and eternally. Your death and the coming of the Holy Spirit has made it possible for us, each one of us here this evening, to grow daily more into your likeness in the way we react to you, Lord Jesus, each other, and the world. And the last word for each one of us. How sad if we fail to respond. Amen.